Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest played offensive line of the NFL for 8 seasons. He's an NFL analyst for SB Nation, Sirius XM NFL. Also, you hear him here on the DA show regularly, which we always love, our friend Jeff Schwartz. Mr. Schwartz, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm just looking up Tom Brady's results in Miami right now for an article. Like, there's no explanation for why they don't win in Miami. Like, there's none. Like, I don't know. There's no football reason why he doesn't win these games. I don't know what happens to them.
It's weird. The only thing, I mean, yesterday obviously was very fluky, but the Patriots did not play very well again. The only thing that I've heard that kind of makes sense is perhaps that it's a dramatic climate change early in the year. September, October could be 95 degrees and very, very humid. Maybe that has something to do with it. But outside of that, I don't know. Is there another explanation?
I don't think so. I mean, look, they lost last year late in the season. They lost the year before late, you know, obviously today late in the season. They lost in January late. I mean, they've lost games. They lost a September game there in 2014. So I don't know, man. I mean, you know, the Dolphins have had so many different coaches and quarterbacks and personnel that it's not a game plan thing where you can say, well, they just do this really well and therefore Tom Brady can't beat them. It's remarkable. Obviously, the game last night, or yesterday, I should say, you rarely see Bill Belichick make an end-of-game error. He typically lets other teams do that. And the Gronkowski thing was interesting because the ball's on the 31. I mean, how many quarterbacks in the NFL can throw the ball that far?
Certainly not Tannehill.
No, I mean not. I mean, you know, it's got to be at least to get from, you know, let's say he's just at the line of scrimmage to the end zone. It's 70 yards in the air, and then it has to be kind of like high enough to be caught in the end zone. Like there's like three quarterbacks in the NFL that can do that. One of them is playing Kansas City, so I didn't get that move by him to put Gronk back there. He had no chance to. You know, I don't know. Everyone's laughing at him, but come on, he had no chance to make that tackle.
Yeah, it just is a strategic misfire, which almost never happens from Bill Belichick. So let's even take yesterday's game aside. The Patriots have lost 3 games in blowout fashion to non-playoff teams on the road this year. And in those games, I mean, they've really looked very poor. When you look at how the Patriots match up in the playoffs, even if they get a bye, are you wondering if this is really a good addition to the Patriots, but perhaps maybe a mediocre one that just has the right helmet on?
That's a good question. Look, you look at the AFC, I think there really is, there's no favorite, in my opinion. I know everyone wants to say the Chiefs are. Look, I'm a Chiefs fan. My brother plays for the Chiefs. But their defense is really suspect. They're not going to win. They're, in my opinion, their defense is not good enough to win enough playoff games. I really, even if it's only going to be 2, if they win Thursday, they have the number one seed locked up throughout the playoffs. But, you know, I think New England, look, we count them out fairly often in these situations. And this year has been atypical for them, but you know they should beat Pittsburgh this weekend, especially if Big Ben is hobbled. They end with the Bills and Jets, so you know they finished 12-4. They're still. Are you taking them in Arrowhead in January? Or are you taking the Chiefs, who historically aren't very good at home in the playoffs? I think you still lean to Tom Brady and the Patriots. So until I see them not make the championship game or excuse me the Super Bowl, I'm always going to pick them.
Jeff Schwartz joins us this morning here on the show. Let's talk about what the Ravens were able to do yesterday to the Chiefs, because they were really able to hound Mahomes. Mahomes didn't have a great day, kind of took a couple of late big plays for the Chiefs to pull that one out. When you look at Kansas City, is that what you're saying? They're a vulnerable potential number one seed because of those reasons, specifically the defense?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the recipe this year for the Chiefs, to get after them is run the football and, you know, play some defense. And we've seen Denver do that twice now, play them close. We saw the Ravens do that. Now, obviously, you can choose to outscore them, too, which is what the Rams and the Patriots did. And that worries me, right, is there's kind of different styles you can play the Chiefs close. The Chiefs yesterday, I will say this, I thought Pat Mahomes made some amazing throws. And those are throws that really no one else in the NFL can make, maybe Rodgers. And, you know, it's hard to say that those are always going to be there, but he keeps making them, and we keep wondering if it's ever going to stop, and it really hasn't yet. So credit him for leading the team back in a game that it didn't look like they were going to win, you know, down 24-17 against that Ravens defense. That defense is really good. They gave Mahomes looks yesterday. He just hadn't seen yet. There were free rushers all over the place. It was a good learning experience for Pat Mahomes that they play each other again in the playoffs.
Let me ask you about what happened with the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday, because it is impossible for me to fathom that the Steelers, having lost those two games, would come out and play a relatively flat game against the Raiders. I know that Roethlisberger was injured, but what does it say about the Steelers that these three losses have all been in kind of collapsing, choking form?
There's some stat I did on one of my shows, I think, today, and I don't have the exact number, so don't like hold me to it, but something like double-digit road favorites are something like 60-8 in the last X amount of years, and four of the eight losses are the Steelers.
Yeah.
They play down to opponents quite often. The thing I didn't get about that game was if Big Ben was healthy enough to play, he should have played.
Right.
Like, I guess you're saying, and it worked, right? You put him in at the end, they score a touchdown, then they allow the Raiders to obviously march down the field. You know, the Raiders, as much as we mock John Gruden, their offense has actually been kind of good the last couple of weeks. And it does take time. I say this quite often. It takes 8 to 10 weeks for an offense to really get going in the NFL, especially when you have a new coordinator. And we're seeing that with the Raiders. They've looked kind of competent the last couple of weeks. And it could be a sign that they're playing better, but you're right. The Steelers have now had three straight weeks of collapses. And look, the Ravens, with Lamar Jackson, I don't think are very much of a contender. So Steelers can still win the North, but I mean, they're looking at like maybe 8-7-1 year, possibly.
Jeff Schwartz joins us this morning on the show. That's interesting. You don't think the Ravens are a contender. They've got a really good defense, and Lamar Jackson might be limited from a passing standpoint, but he obviously makes some big plays. Why do you feel like the Ravens are not a contender?
Well, their offense is unsustainable. You see yesterday when he had to throw the ball, it's not very pretty. Look, he makes a great throw, then he makes a terrible throw. Then even on one of the touchdowns, he had, I think it was Andrews out of the backfield. The tight end was playing a fullback or tight end. And the ball was just put in a terrible place. It was, instead of in front of him, it was low and behind him, and Andrews made a good job of catching the ball and scoring up and scoring. If you had to guess, they played the last four games, Falcons, Bengals, Chiefs, Raiders. They play a Bucks this weekend, Tampa Bay at home. If you were to guess the rushing defense for those five teams they're playing, where they rank, where do you think they rank?
Where the Ravens rank in the NFL?
No. The defenses they're playing. Last 4 weeks plus this week, the Bucks. Where do you think those five defenses rank as far as rushing defense?
Oof, those are not good rushing defenses.
That's my point. 28, 29, 30, 31, 32.
Oh, that's the worst five. That's the five worst rush defenses. Oof.
That's my point, is they're playing teams that they're built to beat, and they're sort of barely winning or losing. Mm. And that's my point about this offense. It's just unsustainable. You can't have an offense that can't pass the football in the NFL. I know defenses are making a little comeback the last couple of weeks with the Bears last night, what the Ravens have done. But you still got to pass the ball. I mean, even last night, the Bears, as much as they dominated the game, they still had a chance to lose because Trubisky couldn't complete a forward pass in four turnovers. So I think that we look at the defense and say they can carry you, but you got to have some semblance of an offense, and you have to pass the football. I don't think Lamar Jackson is good enough on a consistent basis to do that.
So the Bears just beat one of the best teams in football and completely stymied the most explosive offense in the NFC, perhaps outside of New Orleans. But you kind of find it fool's gold because their offense isn't good enough to keep up?
Isn't it a weird year, man? And then we all get conditioned to take the offensive team. And we have the Bears and we have the Cowboys playing really good defense. But I just I find it hard to imagine. The Bears have to win three playoff games, right, to make the Super Bowl. And are you trusting Trubisky? And I feel like you can't trust him. If you're going to New Orleans, right, and I think New Orleans will have the number one seed. They play the Panthers twice, who basically are giving up on the year. They'll get home field. They already beat the Saints. They have the Rams. They're the tiebreaker. Like, I don't see a team that's limited offensively, as good as your defense is, going into New Orleans to win the NFC Championship game and not being able to score like 21 points. Because the Saints defense, by the way, is playing really good. I think we ignore that. They only allowed 13 to the Cowboys. They allowed only 14 yesterday, beat down 14-3, came back on the road. So I think you have to be able to score. If you're not playing the Saints and you're playing the Rams again, maybe I feel differently, but you got to look at who you're playing in the playoffs, and I just don't think the Bears offensively can go into the dome and do enough to hold the Saints down.
Jeff Schwartz is our guest NFL analyst this morning here on the DA Show. You know, Greg Williams keeps winning in Cleveland, and my question is, does he need to get some serious look at full-time coach of the offseason?
For the Browns or for anybody?
And for the Browns.
You know, the Browns are not eliminated from the playoffs yet.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good question. I would say I think it depends on who you can hire. You know, if you can get someone like a Lincoln Riley, which is, I mean, never going to happen in Cleveland, or so you can get some brilliant offensive mind. Let's say Josh Daniels, for whatever reason, wants to go coach in Cleveland, which I don't think he'd turn down Indy and then go coach in Cleveland. Then yeah, you make the change. But if they can't get anyone, and you keep Kitchens, you keep Greg Williams, that might be the best option. See, when we fire coaches and we look to replace them, you have to think about who the next hire could be. You can't just blindly fire a coach without kind of having an idea of who you're going to hire, because there's honestly not 32 great coaches, and that's part of the decision. So I think they've obviously put out feelers, I assume, already on who they might hire. And Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens, you know, it's a combination, might be better than anyone they can get.
Let me ask you finally about the Cowboys. Do you believe they can be a tough out in the NFC? I mean, they're not going to get one of the byes, but they're going to have a home game likely when they win the NFC East. Do you think they're a tough matchup? Or are you worried about that offense like Dak you were talking about before?
I'm worried about their offense. I'll tell you why. You know, I've not seen enough from Dak. I know people will say, well, 454 yards. But, I mean, you know, two go routes, man. Like, come on. I mean, like, we could do that, DA. Like, we could throw a go route. and you're playing Eagles defense where they have guys off the street. They're playing secondary for them, right? They have five guys injured in the secondary. So call me a hater, whatever you want to say. I just don't believe in the Cowboys offense still. You know, the Seahawks might come in there the wild card weekend and beat. I would take the Seahawks over the Cowboys if they play the wild card weekend right now.
Huh, really? So you think the Seahawks are live in the postseason?
Well, who are you taking? Are you taking Dak Prescott in that defense or Russell Wilson in that defense?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, look, I like the Cowboys defense a lot, and I think Amari Cooper's making Dak look better than he is, and I love the ground game of the Cowboys, so I think I would take the Cowboys in that game. But I hear what you're saying. I think that the numbers for Dak yesterday were completely misleading. You see 455 and think that he just riddled the defense. That's not how that happened. He missed so many open throws yesterday, and like you said, two go routes gets 200 yards for him.
How about the game winner that should have been intercepted?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So this is why it's important. I know people hate when you say, like, you got to watch the film, but there is value in watching football. I mean, if you just look at stat lines, they can often be misleading.
Jeff Schwartz joining us, NFL analyst, breaking it all down on a Monday after the NFL weekend. Jeff, as always, thank you, brother. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Take care, bud.
You too. Follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff Schwartz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.